Red FM Positive Soul Music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be gone.
Good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. Thank you for tuning in to this program. And yeah, I mean, the last few weeks, last two weeks, I started a series with LP Hetty, and this evening we are continuing from where we left off and from where I left off last week, you know, when I spoke about, you know, this lesbian letter class 2 issue and all that. We will talk about it this evening as well. But, you know, this world is such that as the days get darker, as believers, we have to understand the times we are in and review the way we see things and the way we approach things. We cannot just live like we used to, just take things on the natural, or like, oh, it doesn't matter, this is normal. No, things are no longer normal. You know, even now, you know, there's something someone said some years back, but it now makes sense to me that even the medicine you are given to take, pray over it. You know, it's that bad. I mean, this evening, I was just, I know about it, but I was checking something and I look at the results that I'm getting in the research I'm looking at, and we need to pray. Everything we need to pray, because if there are medicines you take that it can disorient your sexual feelings, and you, a normal man can begin to feel like chasing other men, then it tells you where we've reached in this world. It's not normal. Oh yes, we just can't take things on the surface as normal again, because the medicine they give you, even the medicine, pray over it, because some medicines are not normal. Because I mean, it's that crazy, let me put it that way, quote unquote, because the devil is using every means possible to achieve their aim of, you know, polluting humanity, destroying humanity. They are doing everything, the strategies they are using, the entertainment they are using, the education they are using, the fashion they are using, the food industry they are using, the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, they are using every means to contaminate humanity, to destroy humanity, to draw souls to them, their camp and all. So this evening the news will be very short so that we can have a longer period to really talk serious issues this evening. You know, well, the war has a bit, they've been on a bit on the low key, but it's like half time. I mean, they are going to continue soon, because the way things are going, clearly, as for the peace talks, it's not going to work. So it's not strange that Trump says that Iran's oil infrastructure may explode in 3 days. You know, the bombings, they are moving things. America has been restocking things in the Middle East. So it's just a matter of a few days. The bombings will start again. Crude prices will go up. It's going to affect economies, the world. I mean, this whole back and forth thing. But these are all things which, you know, the signs of the times as we see it. So we just see it as it is. Then in Egypt, there is this Christian man who has been imprisoned. So the headline says, Christian man imprisoned, hung in crucifixion position for converting to Christianity in Egypt. So a trial of an Egyptian Christian man imprisoned on charges related to his conversion from Islam and his attempt to change his religious designation on identity papers opened last week in Cairo. Said Mansour Rezek was arrested in July under terrorism-related charges. Apostasy is not illegal in Egypt, but changing the religious designation on official identity documents is practically impossible and leaves converts open to prosecution as a national security threat. I mean, this one, to changing from Christianity or from Islam to Christianity, what makes you a threat? Prosecutors brought multiple charges against him, according to advocacy group Coptic Solidarity, including establishing and leading a group in violation of the law, joining a group that was allegedly founded unlawfully, financing the group, promoting ideas and beliefs deemed harmful to national unity and social peace, and showing contempt for Islam and challenging its fundamental principles. His legal team on April 23rd submitted several key motions, including requests to adjourn the proceedings in order to prepare a full defense, according to Coptic Solidarity. The court granted the adjournment and scheduled the next hearing to June 15th. He has been held in Cairo's 10th Ramadan prison, where he was reportedly being deprived of basic necessities, including adequate food, clothing, and medical care, and hung in a crucifixion position. The hearing took place at Egypt's first criminal terrorism circuit in Badra, in the eastern area of Cairo. International human rights groups have long criticized the Badra courts of opaqueness, lack of due process, depriving defendants of basic legal protections, prolonged pretrial detention, and limited access to attorneys are common. Christians are suffering in other countries, a lot of Christians. The cases are, if you read the persecution reports and all that, a lot. And then a quick one from Uganda. Evangelist killed by Muslim extremist after sharing the gospel in Uganda. Suspected extremist posing as moto taxi drivers on April 9th killed an evangelist in central Uganda shortly after he preached at a gospel event, according to sources. Well, no, these things are happening, and the news is replete of a lot of these things. But as Christians, we have to understand the times we are living in. Let me just read this verse. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves of the times we are living. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. I'm reading. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Okay. You know, if you do a serious study of these verses, you see every point or every part of all the verses, you see it's being fulfilled in our time. For this, it's not like there are some parts of prophecy which wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes. I mean, those ones, it's not every country that is experiencing it. But when it comes to 2 Timothy 3, if you take all the verses that I read from verse 1 to verse 5, you are seeing, even Kumasi, take Kumasi alone, we are seeing all of them being fulfilled in Kumasi. We have seen it in our society, wherever we are, because that is the lifestyle of this generation now. That is the lifestyle of the youth. We are seeing every one of them. I mean, lovers of themselves, covetous, boosted, proud. We are seeing it. This is the generation we are talking about. And, you know, as a parent, if you are to bring up a child, or you are bringing up a child in this generation, it should give you a certain level of, I mean, you have to renew your mind regarding the times, because we just, I've said this numerous times for those who have listened to this program all these years. I've said it so many times that we cannot use the same formula our parents used to bring us up, to bring up our children. There are some that are acceptable, some moral ones and godly ones. Yes, you can repeat. Those are still, I mean, it still stands the test of time according to various generations. But the larger upbringing or training a child methods and the way relative to the times we are in, the technologies and all the things in our times, you can't use, because one, it didn't even exist in our time. I mean, when I was a boy, a little boy being trained or being brought up by my mother, I mean, all the things available now didn't exist. There was no internet. There was only one radio station, GBC. There was only one TV station, GBC. No decoder, no satellite dish, no mobile phone, no internet. I mean, virtually all the things that are headaches for parents now didn't exist then. The only thing parents will struggle with or complain about, and you went to play, you didn't come early. I mean, you are dirty, you went to play and you came. I mean, those were things parents were grappling with. But fast forward to this generation, it's a whole ball game altogether. I mean, who would assume and imagine that a two-year-old can go to school and receive a love letter from another two-year-old, a girl receives a letter from another girl proposing marriage? How? I mean, who would have thought of this 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? I mean, it won't even, you won't even, I mean, you can't even process it, how that is possible. But in 2026, it's happening. It's happening. And you see, this tells us that we cannot approach parenting with the same strategy we've known over the years. No. Over the years, there were things, I mean, until you are of age, I mean, you don't even talk about it. I mean, no. I mean, it's not something that, because it's not part of the society in the first place, the cultural values and all. There were things which, it wasn't part of us. So it's more of a taboo type of thing. You don't even talk about it. But if we say we are still going to play by that rule, then we'll be in trouble, because if you will not talk about it, some people will talk about it to your child in school. So we have to now get to the point of understanding that it's either we change the way we parent, or some satanic agents in their schools and in other places who parents them for us. Oh, yes. Like this, if a child, a girl in 3 year, class two is 8 years. So if a girl in class two can be proposed to for lesbian marriage and for them to have a ceremony somewhere, and of course, a ceremony will happen, by all means, there will be a priest or a priestess or whoever or to officiate it. That means it's a whole system that has been put in place by the agents. And these people are in schools. So if you say, well, you not talk about sex now, oh, they are not of age and all that. But, I mean, look, I mean, just imagine, class two. I'm not talking of form two, class, C-L-A-S-S, class two. This is the reality we are facing now. And this is not New York. This is not Canada. This is not UK. The places I've been reading about in the news. This is I'm talking of Kumasi here. Ashanti region, Kumasi, Ghana. So this is not far away somewhere like, well, okay, they are spoiled children over there and all that. Or they are not being brought up well. This is a Christian home. The father is a prophet.
All right, so good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
And very good evening to all our listeners.
Yeah, you made a statement I want you to say.
Yeah, so as, I mean, you are saying, mm-hmm. I'm just looking at it from, they are both children.
Yeah.
And so as, I mean, our work has got to do with understanding children and also helping others to understand them. I'm just looking at it from this other context. Mm-hmm. Probably the girl who wrote the letter might have been exposed to a video or something, and she thought innocently, this is what they did in that video.
So let me also.
And this person is my friend. So let me write that letter to the person.
That's also now, another
angle.
Oh, yes, it's possible too.
The other aspect is, she says, we are going to have a marriage ceremony
somewhere.
Yeah. So the question is, where is that somewhere? So where or what is the route? Where was this child exposed? What has this child seen? What has this child heard? So it's something that really needs to be looked at from that angle, not just left. I mean,
return the letter. I have to talk to the father because he was going to the school.
Yeah,
yeah. This week I've been very busy, so that's why I've caught up. Yeah, but I have to get to know the feedback relative to visit to the school and all that. But you know, but this is the reality because there are videos also designed to spoil the children. They are watching it. They are watching it. They have people. When I see children holding smartphones and they have data on it and they are doing whatever they can do freely, I keep wondering, so what type of parents do we have? What type of parents are we having?
Probably they are not aware of what is happening in the world. Let's put it that way, probably.
Oh, yeah, probably one. But then, sometimes you don't need to be told about some things for you to understand that a mobile phone is not a toy.
With data, with internet, it's a whole world.
Oh, yes. As a parent by now, you can't tell me that a phone, because adults are now even addicted and adults are struggling to, get off the system. Yeah. It's a major issue now. So parents have to see the reality that if it's just about communication, I keep saying they are young phones. That one, if it's about communication, they are young phones. You see, and this is where some parents are struggling to take the hard decisions.
Yeah.
I've made reference to it a number of times. I'll keep doing it. A friend in the US, very good friend, the whole family, I know them. When the children started demanding phones, they were teenagers, all right. Mm. But he said, no, they've not reached the age she would buy. Or they, both the husband, they agreed.
Because all their friends are using. So that's the pressure they bring to their parents.
One of the things she told me, even then, can you imagine one of them, the girls, mommy, it's like we're from junior high to senior high. Mm-hmm. That time, one of those transitions. And, some are changing schools. And so how do I get the contacts? So say, take an address book and write the numbers. Like the old school,
exactly.
How we used to write phone numbers, address, name, phone number. And he said, Mom. But he said, buying the phone, no way.
No.
She insisted. And it's like, the children eventually had to. And you see, what she told me that the pressure was from outside was even stronger than the parents.
Yeah.
Other parents, not their children, other parents. And a phone, but you can afford it. You people are rich. You can afford it. So it's like people were now saying, but your children don't have phones. But you can afford it. Yeah. Your husband. And so it's like, it made them look so odd. You can afford to buy a phone. So why wouldn't you buy it for them?
They all children. Their own principles. Everybody's having.
This is where the challenge is.
Yeah.
You see, a lot of people are struggling to create an identity for their children.
Exactly.
That this is our line. We don't cross this line.
The central part of our discussion today.
Yes. So,
it's key.
People are afraid to say that, we want to go by this principle. We don't condone this. We don't cross this line. We don't do this. It's like, be everybody. So, let's also try to formulate into their culture. But Christians, we cannot. We cannot and should not and must not. Because if we say we want to follow the standards now, then we'll destroy our homes. If we want to follow the standards, we'll create zombie children. By zombie children, I mean children who now cannot think for themselves.
No.
They are like robots because their addiction to phones and is destroying their creativity, is destroying their neural functions. There are scientific evidence to show reports, health reports, scientific reports and all, that shows the effects on the brain of these children. Because their brains are not fully developed
yet. It is not.
It's still developing. But if you bring in this phone thing, It is rewiring the neurons, how the brain is wired, and it's affecting them. It's affecting them. Seriously, this generation, in the next few years, the way we are going to see things is going to be serious. So we are going to have people who virtually cannot do anything for them. They can't even think for themselves because they'll be so hooked to the internet systems, and AI is even worsening it.
Yes.
So we'll have people who can't. Think. I went to give a lecture somewhere, and I asked them, university.
Yeah.
So I asked the lecturers and the students, some of the lecturers were there and all that. Then I asked the question, how many here can mention 10 phone numbers off head? The whole room was quiet.
This was not like 20 years ago.
The whole auditorium was quiet. And I was making the point, you see, this is where we've caused us. Because years back, there are some numbers I remember when we were using phone, Ghana,
the landline. Vodafone, yeah, this thing, yeah.
The number, I remember Accra, the house number 30202.
Yeah.
I remember all those numbers. So. But now, how many people can quote off head 10 numbers?
10 is too much. Just say
even five. They can't. This is just an example. I mean, I'm sure as I ask this question, you can't make 10 numbers. 10 numbers off head. Your wife or your spouse, maybe your child or some close. Apart from that, that's all. You can't. Because we've not even made the effort. But the truth is, the brain has the capacity to store as many numbers as possible. But it's just that we are not feeding. It's what we feed the brain that it produces. If we feed it, it would act. And that's just an example to let you appreciate the fact that we are not zombies. God didn't create zombies. No. Yeah. He created a very superhuman system. But we are undermining our capacity and allowing the devil to play games with us. So this evening, we are continuing from where we left off last week. But she will start off with, in a situation that I talked about, this lesbian girl, letter issue and all that, how would you approach it? How should parents approach it?
Okay, so good evening once again to our lovely listeners this evening. Yeah. My name is LP Hetty. And by way of introduction, briefly, I am a licensed professional counselor with the Ghana Psychology Council. I am a school leader and a parenting development coach who works closely with families and schools to help children grow into emotionally strong, confident and wise decision makers who can stand firm even when peer pressure shows up. So, in fact, every day I support parents who are asking one important question: how do I guide my children to, you know, walk wisely in today's changing world? And actually, that's where we are coming, the conversation we are having together today. So, beginning with a little girl who received, I don't know whether to put it a friendly letter or an evil letter from...
This one is evil. Nothing friendly about it.
From her classmate. Like I mentioned earlier, there are two sides to this. Now, the first one is the child who received the letter. We thank God, her brother or whoever found the letter, because as we discussed, I was just thinking, how was this child thinking? What was going on in her mind? Where will her mind go to? Does she have the relationship with the family or the parents to ask, can a girl and a girl marry? Is it something that is good? Or has a conversation like that happened at home where the child can confidently say, this is bad, this is evil, and all that? But we thank God the brother found the letter and the parents, took actions. Now, the other bit is the other girl who wrote the letter. What is happening at home? Now, what is influencing her? Is it from social media? Is it probably she chanced on an older girl with another girl So at the end of the day, psychologically, we should look at it. We shouldn't just look at it as we are, looking at it from a spiritual perspective. Look at it from another angle. Because that child might really need help.
Oh, certainly.
Will really need help. Because probably she's been exposed to something she's not aware of. I mean, she doesn't know how to control. So that child will need that kind of help to get him or her. And then, possibly, if the school or the parents can go deeper, they should find the source and kill it from the source. Mm-hmm. It might be that there are many other children who have equally been influenced.
Yeah,
and that's probably they've also written letters that sadly might not have been discovered.
Yeah.
And so that is what I can say briefly on that. And so when we continue from there, it's all about how we as parents can help our children. How we can guide our children to identify move away from bad influence bad friends or negative influence. So a brief recap of what we did last 2 weeks. I think we ended on the four emotional needs that makes children vulnerable to influence.
Yeah.
And so briefly, I mentioned that children become influenceable when they are searching for belonging. Now, look at this love letter thing. Mm-hmm. You want to marry somebody. Why do people marry? To be with somebody, to belong. So, as evil as it is, this child might be looking for belonging. But she's been exposed to something negative and she feels, okay, this might be the right way. And so, every child wants to feel accepted somewhere. So, if acceptance feels weak at home, they look elsewhere. Now, number two emotional need is the identity bit, which you mentioned. Most times children ask silently, who am I among my friends? That's why if you have friends groups, the one who is often either the queen or the king or the other children in the group who might feel, okay, who am I amongst my friends? And often this come about when the child doesn't know his or her identity.
Yeah.
So if parents don't answer that question early, their friends will. Their peers will answer that question for them. And then we went on to discuss independence. Especially between ages 9 and 16, children begin practicing decision-making without parents. Starting a class page without parents. Let's make our own class page. Influence increases during this stage. And so parents with children between age 9 and 16, we really need to, follow up on our children often. And then the next one is recognition. Children want someone to notice them most times. And so sometimes the wrong friend is simply the first person who does.
Yeah.
Say amen. The wrong friend is simply the first person who recognizes them. And then often, before you know it, the child has been influenced. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, influence is strongest where identity is weakest.
Oh, okay. Influence is strongest.
Yes, where identity is weakest. So if the child doesn't know her identity or his identity, influence gets a stronghold on the child. Mm-hmm. Especially negative ones, sorry. And so, with this recap, we'll briefly move into five types of dangerous friendship influence every parent must recognize. Mm-hmm. Five types of dangerous friendship influence every parent must recognize. Now, I want parents to understand, number one, the approval friend.
The yes friend.
Mm. You know, this friend will say, this is what they do. If I'm your friend, or if you say I'm your friend, prove it.
A trap.
Exactly. So, often this leads children into risky behaviors. And then, at the end of the day, what happens is a child begins to drift away because it is this friend who who makes me feel I belong.
Yeah.
So let me prove my friendship. Then the next one is the identity editor. Oh no. When you are bringing a woman or bunny, who he or she is.
Manipulator.
Thank you. No, or best son, banana job, sasano. It's imagine a statement like the child is doing, hey, a creeper for you are too correct. That's for you, dear. So let's say there's a group, you are doing something, and then they'll intentionally, whatever they are doing is bad. But listen to this. This is how they put it. It's not like they don't want you to be part. But in order for you to, just get triggered and say, oh, I'll do it. They'll intentionally say, hey, this one, don't invite her. As for her, she'll tell you, this one is bad. Don't invite.
Indirectly,
psychologically, yeah. They are trying to tell you to think otherwise. So you immediately change your identity and then you come. Say that this person is too, under a spiritual or stuff, but even if the parents have not been appointed pastors because of how the child behaves, then they'll try to change it indirectly. So the child changes personality just to belong. Then the other one is a secret builder. These are all dangerous types of friends. Parents should be aware. The secret builder. Now, this friend will tell your child, don't tell your parents. Oh. You see, this is what I'm telling you. Even me, my parents are not aware. So don't go and tell your parents. Tell your child to be careful of such people.
Yeah.
Any friendship that depends on secrecy is already unsafe.
Yeah.
Dear parents, tell your child, listen, any friend you come across and say, this one, don't tell your parents. Hey, don't tell your teacher. Don't tell this person. At that moment, know that the friendship is already unsafe.
Yeah.
Very dangerous. And then the next one is a risk normalizer. These friends say, most of us, experience them in schools. The risks, at the end, you're risky, but over normalizing. And you mentioned it. What they often say is, oh, but you, everybody is doing it.
Yeah.
So let me use practical, non-harmful negative behaviors. You go to school, all the children are playing, they are jumping on the desk, they are going here, going there, and you are quiet, or you decide, we are all jumping, we are all playing, only you don't want to. They normalize the risk. The men look
at pressure on you. Put
pressure
on you. Also act.
The moment a friend becomes your child's main, person who is trying to always say, oh, it's okay. You say, but my mommy say, hey! You should be careful. Then the last one is the emotional replacement friend. And this is where most times we lose our children to friends. When our children, do not find safety in us. They do not see us parents as their safe place. Whenever things don't go well at home, but then Ben, you see, they go to school or they meet their friends and then they tell them. Then this friend will come and say, that's what I've been telling you. That say my mother said I shouldn't play with this group. In fact, when I went home, my mother insulted me it's okay. Maybe your mother is trying to protect you, but there's nothing wrong with it. We are together. So that friend acts like she's like a safe place. So your child begins to trust them.
Yeah.
So instead of the parent advising the child, now this friend is the one advising. The moment a friend becomes your child's main decision guide, like I was saying earlier, influence has already shifted. Influence has already shifted. Now we move to this. Parents, hear me. Early warning signs parents must never ignore. We should never ignore these warning signs. Influence, again, speaks before behavior changes. So before we will see that our children's behavior has changed, the influence has already started. And one of the things we should watch out for, I'll give about 5 or 6, new tone of voice. New tone of voice. Suddenly, a child who was quiet or not react when angry or begin to talk anyhow. There's influence. Or a child who was once, okay at home, suddenly there's something wrong with their voice. Please watch for this. The next one is the new secrecy patterns, which I mentioned in our previous meeting.
Episode, yeah.
When they begin to keep phones, hide it, they put passwords on their phones, and then when you pick their phones, or even when their junior brothers or sisters pick their phone, they're like, hey, put my phone down. Don't touch it. Mm-hmm. We should watch it. The next one is their new confidence drops. Like, there's this kind of confidence. Suddenly, your child is sure. It looks like confidence, but it's actually pride. A certain kind of pride, a certain kind of, you know, they are behaving in a way that is different from the child you know. Please watch this sign. Another one is withdrawal from conversations. We are all having a conversation. Let's say a normal at home, you are watching TV. This lesbian isn't before you probably, that is what the child is being influenced into. Yeah. The topic you are discussing. So the child feels like, and then suddenly, before you know it, the child has left you in the room. Please watch. Then the other one too is mocking authority suddenly. Suddenly, the child begins to talk negatively about authorities. So let's say you are with your child and they say, I'm coming to speak to your teacher about this attitude. Oh, free teacher. I mean, probably the child is having something to do with the teacher. So the level of respect
has gone down.
Or the teacher has introduced a child to something.
So I respect.
Exactly. Or, another authority, and then suddenly the child's behavior or attitude, not necessarily because that authority in question has influenced or done anything, but the influence coming from his friends or her friends is putting the child in a place where she now doesn't respect authorities. So these are signs you should watch. Now, secrecy is usually the first language of negative influence. I want to retreat this. I mentioned that it's usually the first language of negative influence.
Secrecy.
Then I want us to move to this. Because of time today, we are going to really, so that we don't have to. The biggest mistake good parents make, rather than, I'm not talking about bad parents, so.
Yeah.
But good parents, those with a good heart, and in fact, most of those who are listening, all your listeners, because I believe they really want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Many loving parents respond with, whenever they see, we see our children with certain kinds of friends that we don't like. Mm-hmm. We often respond with, stop that friendship immediately. This girl, I don't like her. Mm-hmm. Don't let her come. Hey. But this is what happens. When you say that, what the child hears, please listen, I'm telling you psychology. What the child hears is, you cannot make decisions for yourself.
Oh, okay.
As what can I say? Eh, akrawe menene na tibim. This person, don't be friends with this person. In the child's ears, what the child is hearing is, You cannot make decisions for yourself.
I have to decide for you.
Which is an error. So now, instead of stopping the influence, you are trying to save your child from a bad friend. But instead of stopping that or ending that influence, what rather happens is the friendship now goes underground. It becomes a secret friendship. Because my mother says, my father says, I should stop that friendship, and they are deciding for me, so let me hide it. Now, parents, I want us to understand this. I always say this whenever I come on here. Correction without connection produces rebellion. It's the abofrana wo correcting. It's a connection niho, or don't niho. Now, they intietiem, insulting, or talking to the child anyhow.
Yeah.
You end up making the child secretly rebellious, and then when it gets stubborn. Out of it, it explodes.
Stubborn.
Very stubborn. So that friendship, the friendship you are trying to stop, you've rather made it more serious underground.
Okay, escalates to something
more dangerous.
Yeah.
Because now it's a secret. So whatever we are doing, she doesn't know. So let's continue with it. or whatever he's hearing or she's hearing or she's been given, she's hiding it. So I want us to move to phone monitoring without breaking trust. Phones today, like you were saying, are not just communication tools. Yeah. But they've been friend groups, people creating group pages. I mean, the phone has become an identity classroom where, in a group chat, when the children create messages or group pages, somebody is sharing in the senior high, my boyfriend brought me this on Val's Day. This will also do this. And then you're on that page. Your child is on that page because you decide to give your child a phone. And then the child begins to feel, begins to have this low self-esteem. I'm not good enough. Again, because you fail to let the child know who she is or who he is. Another one is a private influence room. Like I just explained. So under 10, supervised access. Probably you buy it and say, okay, for research, for projects. So the phone is not with the child. But I don't come home and say, mommy, can I understand this thing or this topic or this? And then probably you're also busy on your phone. So you decide, let me buy a phone for you people to use. But you don't give it to the child.
Yeah, the ownership should be...
It's you. So you've come that the child comes and mommy, I have to research it. So you are sitting there with the child. We are all researching it. We are all finding it. We are all doing whatever. We are done. I've taken back the phone. I'm going to put away. Yeah. And then age 10 to 13 to the same thing, open monitoring. But when it gets to 14 plus, or let's say they've moved to senior high, they've come home. This is especially for parents who have gone to the step of giving phones. If you can seize it, just seize it. But if it's gone beyond, now you have to coach your child. Because we are trying to save the child from becoming secretive. Yeah. So if you go, I've heard on the radio, I'm not giving you a phone. Hey, bring the phone. Before you know it, the child will find a phone somewhere or get access to a friend's phone. And then the very things that probably the child was being careful about, now the child goes deep into it.
In season.
Thank you very much. So secret checking weakens the trust.
Yeah.
Open guidance threatens safety. And that's what we are calling for from parents. Now, I want us to look at this. When influence comes from cousins and relatives, we were talking about it the other time. And we're using Tamar and Absalom and his brother, his cousins and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's extremely, extremely relevant, culturally, because like I was saying, you have family people coming in and sometimes when you try correcting, before you know it, the parents say, this house, they will not go there again, because before you know, either the mother or Tia Tiamo, and I say, so at the end of the day, okay, in order not to correct somebody, let me just pause or hold back.
Yeah.
Which might affect your children. So being family, I want to say this clearly, dear parents listening to us, being family does not automatically make influence safe. Parents sometimes tolerate behavior they would normally correct simply because the influence comes from relatives. But influence transfers through closeness, not bloodline. So, parents, let's teach our children these boundaries. Before they visit a cousin, you go for holiday somewhere at a family's house or a weekend, another family member comes, tell your children, we love our relatives deeply, but some behaviors are not part of our home values. Listen, if you teach your children this, let the other family people come in and behave in, it is your children who will be the ones correcting them.
Correcting them, yeah.
And you will not have to do any talking.
Mm-hmm.
So the child comes, starts screaming, start doing it, say, no, our family, over here, we don't do that. Why are you talking like that? Or the child comes in and at the least thing, use a foul, insult, immediately your child who understands that, then understands the value at home, will tell the other child that, no, we don't do this. Mm-hmm. So now imagine the other family member, the child's parents, hearing your child tell their children, that is, if they are there, this is wrong, this is bad. You can just imagine how they'll feel. Yeah. Not against you, but it's like, oh wow, this is a good value. These are good values you've taught your children. Now you are safe.
Now
but
they will learn.
They will learn.
We have to also
teach our children. But if you leave it, like you mentioned, if you think that there's that your children are going to learn it, there are wild wolves out there waiting to train them. Please, let's be intentional with the conversations we have with our children. It's good to, I mean, desire academic excellence. Fantastic. But no, have time. Sit down a week. Just tell yourself, I'm going to give myself. It's not about making a whole day or 3 days or 5 days in a week. It is about consistency. But then, if you decide that every week I'm going to spend 30 minutes chatting with my children about anything and everything,
yeah,
you'll be amazed as time goes on, the things will reveal to you. So parents out there, I'll plead with you. Children must learn they can love people without copying people. And so as you've taught your child to correct whatever error, at the end of the day, they'll learn that we can love them without copying them. What parents should do when their children start hiding friendships? Mm-hmm. Hidden friendships, like I mentioned, usually mean hidden fears.
Okay.
The child is afraid. And my mother said I should stay away from this person. So if I should let my mother know or my father know I'm still friends with this person, probably I'm going to be punished. Mm-hmm. So that fear of punishment or that fear of, condemnation makes the child hide the friendship.
Okay.
Or that fear that if my parents get to know, oh, this friend of mine is into this or that's that. So they begin to hide. Children hide friendships when they expect punishment, misunderstanding, overreaction. And most times, we parents, we overreact. And only as seven, brother, we overreact. So, what the child is expecting is sometimes, fine, the child knows he or she is wrong. But the way, hey, and you did what? Hey. So, at the end of the day, that fear, that thought that makes a child, if I go and say this to mommy, to daddy, before you know it, it's like I'm the worst evil sinner in the world. So let me just keep quiet about it.
Yeah. It breaches the trust.
Exactly. So, parents should rather ask, who is our friend? Maybe you realize that your child attitude is changing. So you can sit down. Do you have new friends? Or let's say you don't even know your child's friend. Who is your friend? Who is that friend? Who is that closest friend you have now? And then help me. And this is for the part where the parent says, stay away from that friend. That example I gave. Now, instead of just saying stay away from that friend, you can sit your child down and then ask, help me understand how that friendship with this person makes you feel.
Mm-hmm.
How does she make you feel? So listening to the child from that angle, you get to know the level of influence this child has on my child.
Yeah.
And so when you realize that it's negative, then you can take steps from there. Mm-hmm. Gently, calmly, quietly. Not shouting, not overreacting.
Yeah.
Now, I want us to understand this. How parents build children who resist peer pressure naturally. Children resist negative influence when they have strong identity. Identity is very, very important, brother.
Yeah, knowing who you are.
When they have strong identity. And I experienced my son gave me a practical example. I sat back and I smiled. Somebody was trying to influence him negatively. Mm-hmm. And then he said, have you read your Bible today?
Try.
Have you? No. This is wrong. Another time, then he started giving a Bible story. This person went to do this business, and it was wrong. Why are you trying? I was like, okay. Those little seeds, they work.
It works, yeah.
And so, my dear parent, it is never too late, no matter where your child is. And the funny thing, Brother Eben, most of us parents have stopped, especially we, those who have children in the, let me use, most churches will call Sunday school or children's service. We stopped asking, what did you learn in church today?
Yeah.
We stopped asking those questions. Listen, tomorrow when your child goes to church and comes back home, to ask their child what he or she learned. Or in fact, before you go to church, tell the child that tomorrow, whatever you learn in church, when you come back, I'll ask you.
Come and share it. Yeah.
Come and share it. Good. Now, that is just the beginning. When the child shares it, pick from what the child has shared. Exactly. And tell the child, this week, we are going to have a challenge. In church, during the children's service, we learn something about forgiveness. So let's see how we are going to apply forgiveness.
Practicalize it.
Practicalize it. And then put something down with your child. Nothing big. You can have just three ways for the child. I mean, the child can walk forgiving others.
Yeah.
And at that point, you are building something called empathy, or teaching the child the value called empathy. Mm-hmm. So one of them, to forgive, you need to have empathy. Put yourself in the person's shoes. And these are values every child needs.
Yeah.
So as you are teaching that value, the child goes anywhere and then sees something. And because you taught this particular value, the child works with it, lives by it. Another one is open communication. So this teaching of the identity brings about the communication, which I have spoken. Chat with your children. Mm-hmm. We didn't experience that. Mm-hmm. I mean, your mother will come and say that Brian didn't come on. In fact, us adults are chatting. Hey, that was the only point. Hey, my goodness, but even what? In fact, if you make an error and even pass by, I remember my auntie, her eye can kill you. They call it a side look or bombastic side look. I don't know. Sometimes my son says it. The way the eye will go. You can collapse.
The eyes communicating.
The eyes is communicating. Dear parents, let's learn to chat with our children. Listen, they have a lot to share. Don't build a wall. Most of us have built walls between us and our. It's like they see us as senior zoos. I mean,
and do you know that? Tell me the number one factor.
Please,
mobile phones.
Mobile phones, brother.
TVs. Even. So the mother is busy watching something. So you see, we've been distracted by these devices. So the time for
chat,
real human beings in the house.
But Eben,
we don't have time for
we
them.
We don't. Now I shared something some time back on the parent platform we are on. You see, okay, if television is blocking us, parents, listen to me. The phone is distracting us.
Yeah.
So you're having a family time. And you're all watching television. Take advantage of whatever you are watching, because you watching with the children means it's PG.
Yeah.
Or the age is, I mean, their age.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a movie, from the movie, ask the child.
What lessons?
What lesson? How can we apply this in real life? You don't need anything. Nobody's asking you to go and look for a manual.
Yeah.
Of everyday happiness, you start to chat with a child. Now, if the child has a parent she can chat with, he can chat with, listen, there's nothing the child will hide from.
Yeah.
And I'll give I remember my uni days when I was doing my first degree at Keio University. I had a certain roommate. And this girl, I didn't have that growing up, could call the mother about anything and everything. I was like, it sounded weird. Like, what are you talking about? And sometimes the conversation is, mommy, so today when I woke up, I mean, I missed lectures. I was late. But in fact, I mean, right from when she woke up, what she did,
a rundown
the whole day. And you could hear them laughing and giggling. It didn't just start at the uni. Because if it started, I would have started. My parents never had that with me.
Mm-hmm.
But she was always chatting with them. And I just felt, wow. So now, imagine somebody comes in, a fine-looking gentleman walks into the room.
Yeah, he will tell the mom.
She immediately called him, mommy, this gentleman has come and he's interested in me. And I mean, I don't know, what do you think? Okay, can we meet? You see, can we meet? The mother will not go, hey, how? When did you start? Before you know it, your child has been, I mean, she's gone out, been pregnant, aborted like 100 times. And you're not aware because you're done your home. Mommy Jatai and Papa Jatai, we're always overreacting in the house. Parents, let's win our children over for the Lord.
They communicate. You know, seriously, we talk about devices causing harm, but I'm now seeing how devices is also destroying even the adults.
It is.
And it's destroying the homes.
It is.
Seriously.
It is. Because a mother or a father, a parent will come back from work, but they've been... Wabre. And we know that you are tired. Would you permanent crano? Just 1 or 5 or 3 minutes. Obesa, what we were questioning them.
Social media.
Or the phone, so TikTok. No, or scrolling. Say,
doom scrolling. No end. And you know, seriously, this verse. Let me just read it quickly on it. You know, it's sad, but that's the reality. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. But I keep telling people and saying, those who follow my channel, I've been writing on it this week and all that. Most Christians are very, very ignorant of the devil's devices.
Yeah.
Because now we are seeing things which the signature is embossed boldly.
Yeah.
Satan association, Satan, but even Christians can't, because it's like we've become so obsessed with his things that we see the signature and so it doesn't matter. You rather talk about it, and the Christians will fight you for rather cautioning them about using falling into the trap Satan has set.
Very true.
You rather become the enemy.
You become the enemy,
and you the one cautioning rather is like, hey, my yamahu. It's serious. So this generation, you see, the devil is playing a very smart game. A very, very smart game. And the church is asleep. Families are in danger. Society is
before
broken.
Before you continue, the part where you said the devil, it just dropped in my mind that he's really making use of how he was described.
Oh, yes.
That he's, I mean, be wise as a serpent. It's in this time, I'm all chairs or your wife or your cannon,
exactly.
So, please continue. Sorry for cutting.
Oh, no problem. And so, that's exactly what he's doing. And he is virtually, and it's like, you know, last week I spoke about undercurrents, how dangerous undercurrents are. For those who go to the beach and all that to understand, those are the ones that can pull you into the sea and drown, cause people to drown. But when it's moving, you don't see it because it's under. People rather fear the waves that they see. Yeah, but the undercurrents can be very dangerous.
And most times, those are the friendships. The negative
undercurrents, because you are not seeing. And that's how things are happening in our time now.
Secrecy.
A lot of things are, underground.
Just look at this medicine. Innocently, you are taking it to heal yourself of a certain disease. And before you know it, you are done taking it now. I say, I don't like men. My husband, let's break up. I'm in love with women. You know, suddenly taking medication. So, brother, you're to continue.
We are at the time, not yet. The way I hate time when you are.
So, I want to say this last thing before our time is up. But parents, I want you to get this before we end. Become the loudest voice of wisdom in your child's life. Parents, children listen to many voices today, like Brother Eben just mentioned. They listen to friends, phones, media, trends, social expectation.
Yeah.
But the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7, it says that, impress these commands on your children. About them when you sit at home. When you sit at home, don't go and be scrolling. When you sit at home and when you walk along the roads.
When you are driving in the car.
And you are driving in the car.
With them.
When you are walking. I don't know if I mentioned that. Sometimes just do a quick... Let's go for a walk, evening, and then chat with them. So parents will continue again, God willing, next week. God
that bless. Time that parents will go for a walk with their children, they are going to scroll the phone.
They are doing TikTok.
And God help us. So, listeners, we have to end it here so soon. The way time flies when you have a lot of things to talk about, but well, understand it. It's recorded to be uploaded to spiritissues.info and then to the Telegram group. Yeah, those who are there, to be uploaded there as well. But the danger is we are not in ordinary times spiritually. Even physically, yes, it's obvious. But spiritually, the season is so, so, so dangerous. We cannot play and think all is well. No. We have an adversary who has stepped up the game. And we cannot sit idle and play like, oh, it doesn't matter. It matters. And at the end of the day, we should be careful not to be victims of his schemes. Thank you, LP Hetty, for joining. This evening, God willing, next week, we'll be continuing as well. So, listeners, this is Eben, Issues of Life, Spirit 88.3. God willing, next week, I'll be coming your way. Good night.
Rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.